I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible this morning to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. There are 150 Psalms. So if you read five a day, you'll finish reading the book of Psalms in 1 month. But Psalm 100 is special. Psalm 100 is the basis of our doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Psalm 100 is the basis of all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with joyful hearts. And that's a very famous hymn. It's been sung for 200 years. Psalm 100 is the only psalm in the psalm book, the only psalm out of 150 psalms where the subscript is a song of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise. That's the only psalm that's introduced that way. Now, this was one of the royal psalms. These were sung in the temple. The royal psalms begin with Psalm 94. Psalm 94:1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Psalm 95, verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 96, verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm 97:1, the Lord reigneth, let thy earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad. Psalm 98, verse 1, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things, his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. And Psalm 99:1, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble, he sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. And then Psalm 100, those are the royal psalms. The script here, a song of praise. In the Latin Bible, it's suavis et gravis. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, it's psalmis eis ekomologeson. It's based on the idea that there was a thanksgiving offering in the Old Testament. Thanksgiving offering is Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12. It talks about all the different offerings you could bring to God in the temple. Let me flip left-handed to Leviticus. Leviticus 7, verse 12. If he be offered for a thanksgiving offering, then she shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour and fried. So this psalm is a thanksgiving psalm to go along with the thanksgiving offering. Now let's look at it. Verse 1 is the call of God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is a universal psalm. This is not just for Jewish people. This is why this is messianic. The Messiah, HaMashiach, was going to be the Savior of the whole world. And so this is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, not just the Jewish people. Now, verse 2 is the challenge of God. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Verse 3 talks about the creation of God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So verse 3 says, we are God's creation and we are God's sheep. Two important ideas. Verse 4 is the court or presence of God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And verse 5 is the conclusion of God. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, the Jewish rabbi said this was sung at the temple during the Thanksgiving offering. Ancient rabbis said you should sing this psalm every day. It's kind of like us singing the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. That if you are a real sincere Jew and honored Yahweh or Jehovah your God, you would sing this psalm every day. Rabbi Samson Hirsch, who was the most famous conservative rabbi in the 1800s, well, Orthodox rabbi, This will be sung in the Messianic age when the Messiah, HaMashiach, will come back, will bring the Tekun Olam, the restoration of the earth, when the entire world and universe will be perfected. And that's what they expect the Messiah to do when he comes back, is to perfect the earth and the universe. It's interesting, make a joyful noise, all ye lands. There's a prophecy in Nahum. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters that cover the sea. Now, how much do waters cover the sea? They cover it 100%, okay? So at what point in the history of the world was there universal knowledge of God? Well, universal knowledge and obedience of God with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve both knew God, okay? And it wasn't the apple on the tree, it was the pear on the ground, right? Okay? That caused all the problems. The second time everybody in the world acknowledged God was after the flood. Noah and his family were all that were left, and they acknowledged God. When's the only other time in the history of the world that the whole world is going to acknowledge God? When Jesus Christ comes back and sits on his throne in the millennial kingdom. He will be King and Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow. And so this is a psalm that looks forward to that. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The Jewish Kabbalah, the mysticism from the Middle Ages. The Holy Ghost sings not, but out of a glad heart. And so God wants us to be glad. God wants us to give thanks, especially at this time in our country's history, when it is historic that when the harvest is in, then we have Thanksgiving Day. Some people ask me at school, well, why do we always vote on the second Tuesday of November? Well, there's a reason for that. There's a reason we don't need to do it then anymore. All the harvest was in by November. You didn't have to work in the fields, but it was before the big snowstorms started coming, so people were still able to travel to get into the polling places. Harvest was in, no heavy snow yet, hopefully, and so they were able to go to the polling places. Why do we vote on Tuesday? Because Sunday they went to church. Monday they traveled to the polling place, voted on Tuesday, made it back home for Wednesday, which was market day, and church that night. So that's why we vote on the second Tuesday of November. Now, since we don't have to worry about travel anymore, and market anymore, and snow anymore, and we don't have to worry about going to church anymore, then the country could vote any day of any month it wanted to. But it's just kind of tradition that we vote on the second Tuesday of November. There are seven elements of worship. A.W. Tozer said, God wants worshipers, not workers. We don't work until we worship God. We praise God, we thank God, we ask God for his help, then we work. Worship comes before work. And so this psalm focuses on worshiping God. Look at the different ways. Verse 1, make a joyful noise. That joyful noise is shout, yell about it. Shout. Verse 2. A, first part of verse 2, serve. Okay, serve with gladness. Someone asked me, we were at Heart of Florida Hospital yesterday visiting Ron Short, and someone was in the hallway, and they asked me what it meant, God loves a cheerful giver. I said, well, God likes cheerful givers, but God will take from a grouch. MM Park Baptist Church likes cheerful givers, but we'll take from grouchy people too, right? Amen. Okay. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come. It means you're somewhere else, you approach God. Come. Look at verse 4. Enter with thanksgiving. Come in with gladness on your heart. Enter with praise. Verse 4, part B. Enter with praise. Verse 4, part C. Be thankful unto him. Verse 5, bless his name. How do you come to God? Seven elements of worship. Come, shout, serve, enter with praise, enter with thanksgiving, be thankful, bless his name. That's what worship's all about, guys. It's summed up here. Why? Because of who God is. Verse 1, he is the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, Yahweh. Verse 3, he is God, Elohim. Know ye that the Lord, Yahweh, he is God, Elohim. One is the covenant God. God's made a covenant with us. I will change your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. I will do a new covenant with you. Jesus is the new covenant, the covenant God. And he's the creator God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. God made all things. He made everything from nothing. I love St. Augustine. My favorite St. Augustine story is St. Augustine developed the theory of creatio ex nihilo, creation from nothing. And that is what the Greek word in the Septuagint means, katidzo, to create from nothing. You know the Big Bang Theory, right? Once there was nothing, then nothing exploded. Okay, makes perfect sense. You know, once there was nothing, nothing exploded, okay? But the Bible says God made something out of nothing. Luther said one time, if God made something out of nothing, and he did, he can make something out of me. Think about that. But Augustine, someone asked him one time, if God made something out of nothing, what was God doing before he made time and space? And Augustine said, making hell for people like you that ask stupid questions. I love that. He was a smart aleck. Okay, God is our owner. He is God, Elohim. He is creator. He is owner and he is shepherd. God made all things. He made all things from nothing. He made all things by himself. Nobody helped God. And he made all things for himself. Worthy is the lamb that was slain, for unto him are all things made, and there was not anything not made that was made. Right? In him was life, and the life was the light of the world, John 1 says. He made us. He's the potter. He makes the pot, and he molds us. Jeremiah found that out. He's the builder. He makes a house for him to live in. And every one of us, if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, is inhabited by the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he is a weaver, and he weaves us, and he weaves our life. There's a beautiful poem, I'm not going to quote it, but it says, you know, God does the weaving, and we see the bottom side, which sometimes is pretty ugly. But God sees the upper side, which is beautiful. And God is weaving every one of our lives according to his will. B.F. Westcott, famous New Testament scholar, said, with bowed heads and open hearts, may we offer ourselves. We can do no more, and we can do no less. Make a joyful noise, a glad shout. It is the oil of gladness, the ancient Puritans used to say. It is the oil of gladness poured out on our hearts. Cheerfulness, a good attitude, is a credit to religion. I've known Christians that look like they were sucking on a sour pickle. Now, and I could say, for some of you had the experience with a sour persimmon, okay, a green persimmon, all right. Yeah, you know, if you're going to look like that, tell people you're an atheist. Help God in reverse. Doesn't help people to look sour when you talk about how joyful it is to belong to Jesus. Wow. We had something up on the screen last week. I don't know whether Eileen left it up there or not, because I can't see the screen from here. But this man was complaining. He was saying, the preacher asked me to do something new last week. I hate new things. What was it he asked you to do? Smile. Yeah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, guys. You have the privilege of access. You know, when you study Islam, and I teach world religions, you know that. When you study Islam, you read in the Quran, you cannot get close to Allah. Allah is out there. He is transcendent. He is unknowable. The only way you know Allah is through his 99 names and his creation. There is no personal relationship with Allah. There is no forgiveness of your sins with Allah. There is no closeness of fellowship with Allah, but we have all that with Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he is close to us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the earth. We have the privilege of access. We don't need to pray through some man. We can pray directly to God. We don't need to give forgiveness from people. We can get forgiveness directly from God. We can take our needs and our heartaches and our sorrows and our joys and our rejoicings to God, and he hears us. The duty of thankfulness, giving thanks, is a course you and I never graduate from. We're never done being grateful. We are never done thanking God. As Andre Crouch, we sang the Andre Crouch song this morning, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. John F. Kennedy, in his Thanksgiving, the first year he was president, and I don't think he'd be a Democrat today. I don't think they'd have him, but John F. Kennedy, Thanksgiving Proclamation, 1961. Let us observe this day with reverence and with prayer that will rekindle in us the will and show us the way, not only to preserve our blessings, but also to extend them to the four corners of the earth. Amen. It's a privilege of access. It's the duty of thankfulness. It's a statement of God's goodness. What is God like? Verse 5, three things. God is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. It has no end. God will never run out of doing good. God will never run out of doing good for us and to us. The Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thy word is true. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Luke 21:33. Isaiah 40, verse 6. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The privilege of access, the duty of thankfulness, the statement of goodness, the obligation of service. We thank God by serving him. We thank God by being faithful servants of his. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. We enter to worship, we exit to serve. First Baptist Church Orlando, I did a wedding there one time. Of course, it was like in a little section down front. Did a wedding in First Baptist Orlando. That building holds 7,500 people. The parking lots, you're now parking in Mickey, you're now parking in Pluto, you're now parking in, yeah, and they have the little carts to pick you up and take you to church. But at the end of the parking lot, as you're getting ready to drive out on the street, there's a sign. It doesn't say, thank you for coming to church. It says, you are now entering the mission field. You are now entering the mission field. When we drive off today, folks, we are entering the mission field. The mission field isn't across the ocean anymore. The mission field is right here in Winter Haven. And we are doing things, and we will do more things, both in Jerusalem, both in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We serve him, verse 3, we submit to him. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, we belong to him. He created us and the sheep of his pasture. My sheep hear my voice and follow me, Jesus said, and I know them by name. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand, John 10. We worship him by serving, we worship him by submitting, and we worship him by sacrificing, because we are all priests of God. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. 1 Peter 2 talks about spiritual sacrifices, praise, thanksgiving, the attitude of our heart. Hebrews 13 says, sing unto God songs of praise. And I don't care how terrible you sound. My father sang with gusto. He sang like a bird, a vulture. But he sang, okay? It says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Hebrews 13, 16 says, part of our service is good works. good works. Philippians chapter 4 says, part of our sacrifice to God is our giving. We give our money, we give our time, we give our talents. There are a lot of things we can give to God. And the widow's mite, you know, a first grade teacher said, I want you to bring in something that illustrates the Bible Monday. So little Susie comes in with a light bulb. What's that, little Susie? That's Jesus is the light of the world. Then little Tommy comes in. He's got a loaf of bread. What's that, Tommy? Oh, Jesus is the bread of life. Then little Billy comes in with a little guinea chicken egg. You know how small they are. What's that, Billy? She had done what she could. Yeah. Not one of us maybe could give $1 million to God's work, but we can give what we have. We have time. What are you going to do besides go to the doctor and watch TV this week? Boy, that's something to think about. Okay. We can give our time. We can give our talents, and everyone's got one at least. We can use our spiritual gifts. And if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, I'll be glad to help you understand what they are and find them. Spiritual gifts, the things that God gives you, the abilities God gives you at salvation, when you are born again. Spiritual gifts. There are different things we can give to God. I knew a person that tithed their days. They were retired. There's 30 days in a month. They tithed 3 days a month to serve God doing something. They tithed their month. Interesting concept. This is all thanksgiving. How do we thank God? We thank God by serving. We thank God by submitting to Him. We thank God by sacrificing to Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and come into His courts with praise. But you have to have a relationship with God through Jesus to be able to do that. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you've never done that, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. You need to repent of your sins, realize you're a sinner. Ask Jesus to forgive your sins and come into your heart. And if you do that, He will. I read a story this week, and I shared it yesterday at Barbara's funeral. But let me share it with you again. There was a missionary witnessing to an American Indian. Now, if that disturbs you, I'll call them a Native American, all right? But they're Indians, okay? That's what I grew up calling them. Anyway, this missionary is witnessing, sharing the gospel with this American Indian. And the Indian says, no. He says, all my life I've walked the Indian road. And I'm too old to change now. But God blessed the Bible to that Indian's heart. And a year later, when he thought he was dying, he called the missionary in and he said, is it too late for me to walk the Jesus road? And the missionary said to him, it is never too late to walk the Jesus road. And it isn't. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so we're going to sing our invitation hymn this morning, number 312. Betty's going to come to the organ to play. Turn to page 312 in your hymn book, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Number 312, let's stand together.